Isn't it nice that the Lord can just take people from different walks of life and just bring them together as one? So this is what the Lord's done here.
Yeah, Lord, I want to thank you for Rob and just his father heart. Lord, I, as one who's been fathered by Rob, I want to thank you. Thank you for all the good seed that you've sown in my heart through him, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless and bless his ministry, that you would continue to raise up spiritual sons and daughters. And Lord, that you would just richly bless him today, fill him with your spirit. Yeah. Lord, we ask for the message you have for us today would find fertile soil in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I just don't want to take the unity of the Spirit for granted. So, Father, we thank you for the unity.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Good. Sorry about that. Good morning, everybody. And how are you this morning? Ooh, I heard an awesome as well. So that's great. There's good and awesome. And silence. Why don't you turn to a neighbor and say, Jesus is Lord. Nice. Okay. And now turn to another neighbor and say, Jesus loves you. Oh, very nice, very nice. You know what, folks? We need to hold on to those two truths for dear life as we go through this message this morning, that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus loves us. So here we go. These are exciting days at Trinity. I mean, I get it secondhand from Brad and the elders, but it feels like, as they've reported what's going on, that it seems like the Lord is on the move. And, you know, you start getting a sense that the Lord is on the move before you see anything actually happening. It's, do you resonate with that? You feel it in your spirit first. It's a sense of anticipation that something's going to happen. Something is moving forward, and the Lord is behind it. And we're thrilled at West End Christian Community. I know that today we've prayed for you as I've been over, as I'm coming over here to share a message. Our fellowship is praying for your fellowship. And you know what? The Lord's doing the same thing in our midst as well at West End Christian Community. And I feel like he's probably doing the same kind of thing all around in different parts of the body of Christ. There's a sense of anticipation that he's on the move, and shortly there'll be something happening in the churches, something good, something God-formed, something kingdom-motivated, and something that rolls the kingdom of God forward and advances the purposes of God here on this earth. So it's exciting, isn't it? Yes. It is. It's an exciting time. Understanding, of course, that when we talk about God moving the church forward, he's talking about us individually first. He's on the move in our hearts. He's on the move in our lives. He's on the move in our households. And then, as we, the called out ones, come together to be the church, well, that's how he moves the church forward, by beginning in our own individual hearts. So if we've got a sense of anticipation that God's going to do something big, well, it's going to start right here. And it might even be a surprise what gets done in our own hearts as we go for it, as we move with him and cooperate with him in these days. So the question I want to deal with today, given that we're seeing the Lord ready to do something, and we know that it's going to begin in our hearts, and we know that it's going to go outwards from there, how do we cooperate that with that? Bring that forward with God's work in our hearts and in our homes and in our church? For all of us, it actually begins with one thing. listening, oops, we're one ahead here, listening to the call of Jesus. And I was going to name the message Hearing the Call of Jesus. You know, like the still small voice in our hearts, or that resonating voice that we hear, or that voice that we hear through the people of God, or however that comes. But then it occurred to me that I think we have more trouble listening to the Lord than hearing Him. I know that sounds kind of strange. We think, wow, I just want to hear the voice of God. Jesus, when he preached, he said, anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, Jesus hasn't got a problem speaking to his people. Jesus hasn't got a problem communicating to us. In fact, he says, my sheep, hear my voice. The real question is, will those sheep listen to his voice? That is, hear and then do what they're hearing. So excuse me, I think all of us, I know for myself, you know, we have more troubles actually listening to the call of Jesus than hearing the call of Jesus. So that's why the message is called that. And what is that call? I know that we already got a flash view of that. For everybody, the call of Jesus is pretty simple. It's about two words. And those two words are, follow me. And in fact, Jesus, oh, by the way, I want to be clear. Following Jesus is not like following Jesus on Twitter. Or following anybody on Twitter. When you're following somebody on Twitter, it's like, well, you might be a fan, and you check in every so often, and when they say something interesting, you might like it, so you just press something that indicates that you like it, and if you don't like it, you turn it off, or you unfollow them. That's not what we're talking about. Although, many of us as followers of Jesus tend to follow him like we would follow someone on Twitter, in a detached kind of way. We're watching, we're spectators, watching what Jesus is doing, watching what Jesus is saying, and then kind of deciding what we want to do from there. That is not what this message is about. This message is about Jesus saying, follow me. Now, Jesus says these very two words lots of times. We find it recorded all the way through the scriptures. In every one of the gospels, you see this invitation resonating. Follow me. As simple as that. And for example, in the book of Matthew, there's at least four instances where Jesus gives that invitation to people. And in each of those four instances, it covers at least seven people. So we've got Jesus over and over and over again saying this to people, follow me. And we're going to take a look at those four verses in the book of Matthew. The first one being Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22. So Matthew 4, 18 to 22 says this. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, everybody, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'm going to continue on a little bit because there's two other people that he found in the same place. So I'll just sort of continue on in the same set of verses. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers. That's actually not the verse I'm doing right now, so you can back it up. Thanks. I'm just actually adding to this one. He saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is a very familiar story. Jesus saying, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, and here's the next verse. Matthew 8, verses 21 and 22. where Jesus encounters, we don't know the name of this disciple. I'm sure he's glad. Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." Wow. Then there's Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Everybody, follow me." And he rose and followed him. And then Matthew 19, verse 21. Jesus said to him, and in this case, him is the rich young man who came up to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus tried to take him through a little lesson of understanding and what exactly he was actually asking. And when it all came down to it, Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, everybody, follow me." So we hear this resonating throughout Scripture, and that's just the book of Matthew. Resonating throughout Scripture, this call that Jesus gives, it goes out all the way through the Gospels, and you know what, folks, it goes out all the way through the ages. The call to follow Jesus has come all the way to 2018 here, and that call continues to go forth. And you know what, it's not just a call to salvation, it's a call to purpose as well. And in fact, if you've been around in terms of your walk with the Lord for a while, you realize probably that that call isn't just one time in your life. That call happens over and over and over again. It happens for big things. It happens for small things. This call to follow Jesus. It can be as big as, "Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that." It can be as big as an entire life change. It could be going to another nation and pioneering a work for the gospel. Call to follow Jesus into that. Or it could be simply Jesus calling you to stop kicking the cat. Could be as simple and as small as that. So the call to follow Jesus is continuous throughout our lives. And it's especially important during times like these, for a church where God is on the move and he's in the process of, maybe you've even heard this word from the leaders, activation. He's activating people, activating parts of the body of Christ. And you don't necessarily know how they all fit together till you come together. And then all of a sudden you see that, wow, there's a plan. There's a plan for our lives individually that we need to be activated in. And there's a plan for the life of the body of Christ corporately that we need to come together and be activated in together. So this whole idea of activation, it's important that we listen to the call of Jesus in these days as he stirs our hearts and as he stirs the church. Amen? So we want to do that. And all I'm going to do today is, using those four examples from Matthew where Jesus said, "Follow me," just going to make some observations, just a couple of observations about what this call is, what the nature of the call of Jesus. And hopefully by the time we're done, we'll have a good idea, a better idea of what it means to answer that call and to answer it in a way that produces the good fruit that Jesus desires. So first, the first observation is this. The call of Jesus is sovereign. The call of Jesus is sovereign. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he doesn't mean, "Follow me if it works for you." I'm going to say that again. When Jesus says, "Follow me," he doesn't mean, "Follow me if it works for you." The call of Jesus is actually not a suggestion. It's a command. And you might be thinking, well, okay, wait a minute. Where does Jesus get off telling me what to do? Turn to a neighbor and say, Jesus is Lord. Turn to another neighbor and say, Jesus loves you. It's not only that Jesus loves us, but he's also Lord. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the King of the universe. He has all authority. We belong to him. If we're followers of Jesus, we belong to him. Jesus can say, follow me. And he's not asking. He's giving a command to follow him. Now, Peter and Andrew and James and John and Matthew, they all knew something in what Jesus said. When he said, follow me, they felt it. They knew it. They sensed it. A king is giving me an order. They were doing something else. They were all busy guys. You know, we find Peter and Andrew, they're in the boat. They're fishing. And the Bible gives the nice obvious thing, because they were fishermen. So they were casting their nets. They were doing something else when Jesus called. And Jesus' call to follow him cut right across all of their whole life, actually. We know how it all came out. And then there's John and James. They're in their father Zebedee's boat, and they're mending nets. Jesus comes and says, follow me. And they get out of the boat, and the dad's going, where are you going? Well, it's because there was a command that came to them. They were busy with something else, and the Lord doesn't seem like the Lord wanted to make that a bigger thing than his call. We're all busy. And you know what? We're busy with lots of things in our lives, and that's not a bad thing. But when the Lord calls, when the call of Jesus comes, it quite often cuts right across all of our plans, our five-year plan, our strategies for life, and how I'm going to have freedom 55 at 40 or whatever. Cuts across all that stuff. And he's not asking us, maybe if that works for you, maybe we can do something together. That's not it. King of kings, Lord of lords. When he says, follow me, he's not kidding. Still, these guys knew who Jesus was. At least they sensed it at first, that there was an authority that he had. Here's another thing. The call of Jesus isn't a generic invitation. It's personal and specific. It's not like Jesus was saying, it would be nice if somebody followed me. And we watch that and look at that and go, have I got time? Have I got the inclination? I like Jesus, but I've got other things going right now. I've got other irons in the fire. So somebody will follow him, because he's asking generally. That's not how it is, folks. Anybody who's ever heard the call of Jesus, right from salvation, all the way through to purpose and every other good thing the Lord has for this life, you know and I know it's personal. He's not asking somebody to follow him. A little bit of grammar. Follow me. What's the subject of that sentence? Paula got it like really fast, actually. The answer to that question is you. Even though the word you isn't in the sentence, it's called a you understood. And we need to understand that when Jesus says, follow me, he's saying, you, yes, you, follow me. In each of these instances, it says that Jesus saw, he saw Peter and Andrew and invited them to follow him. Come, you, yes, you. He saw James and John. He saw Matthew, Levi. He even looked at the rich young man and loved him, and then said, this is what you need, and then come follow me. So that call is not generic. It's not Jesus asking somebody to follow him. He's asking you and me to follow him. It's personal. It's tailored to us. It's unique to us. The plans and purposes that he calls us into, the activation that he gets us into, well, that could be anything. It doesn't have to look, it's not a cookie cutter by any means. So that's not any kind of generic call. That's not a call for somebody to follow him. It's a call for us personally to follow him. Is there something that you know Jesus has told you to do, big or small, and you've treated that command as a suggestion or a vague invitation? My encouragement is, in these days where the Lord's on the move, maybe it's time to look at that again. Maybe it's time to ask the Lord about that and get more clarity from him. Maybe you've dismissed the call of Jesus because you knew it would disrupt your life. Maybe there's a number of rich young men, figuratively speaking, in the room where Jesus said, one thing you lack, this, this, and this. In the case of the rich young man, it was, you know what, you're stuck on things. Get free of the things, and then you'll be truly free. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, then follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me. And you know what? He wouldn't do it. He couldn't do it because his grip on things was just too tight. He felt that would just, no, that's too much, Lord. That's too much. I can't do it. And it says he went away very sad. And you know what? Jesus went away very sad too. And then there's all that teaching about, wow, it's so hard for rich people to get into heaven. And everybody goes, what? Because everybody's goal is to be rich. I mean, it was like that then. And then Jesus goes on to bring this. Yeah, you know what? They were all silent after he said that, in shock. Because if you're rich, that means God's blessed you. So of course you're going to heaven. So Jesus says, yeah, you know what? It's really hard for rich people to get into heaven. And then he wouldn't let it go. He says, yeah, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into the kingdom of heaven. And like that just blew their minds. How can this be? Who can be saved? Well, then Jesus going, well, you know what? With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And here, in amongst it all, the context of it all, is a call that he gave to this man. And this young man said, no, that's impossible. It will turn my life upside down. And Jesus is thinking, yeah, it would turn your life right side up, actually. So have we got that in our own hearts in the room? Where maybe we heard the call of Jesus and thought, no, that's too much. It's too much of a price for me. That would disrupt my life too much. My encouragement to you is that in these days of moves of God, which begin in our hearts to activate us, revisit that. See what the Lord would say now. He's very patient, by the way. He is gracious and compassionate. He is slow to anger and rich in love. But he is Lord, is he not? So if you're pretty sure that the Lord Jesus is calling you to follow him into something, or out of something for that matter, the right response is, yes, Lord. The call comes. The right response is, yes, Lord. Amen. Okay, well, that's the first thing. Jesus' call is sovereign because he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The second observation I would make here is that Jesus' call is supreme. His call is sovereign and his call is supreme. When Jesus says, follow me, he doesn't mean follow me when you get the chance. By that I mean saying, yes, Lord. We're not saying no or anything. We're saying, yeah, I agree. Yes, I need to deal with this. Yes, 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 Lord. I will put that on my list of things to do. And we all know what happens when we put things on our list of things to do, especially God things. For some reason, somehow, we live in the tyranny of the urgent, and that thing that's the bigger picture and the higher call, and maybe the most costly one, that ends up finding its way down the list. So, let me just say, the call of Jesus is not something to put on our list. It is the list. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew and John and James and Matthew, I'll ask you, brothers and sisters, when did they obey? Immediately. And it says it more than once in those stories. Immediately. We have Peter and Andrew in they're fishing. Jesus says, "Follow me," and it's like clunk. Okay. Don't know where he's going. Don't even know him all that well. But I'm following. And when you have James and John, they're mending their nets, and Jesus says, "Follow me," and it's like clunk. They're putting down what they were doing. And they're getting out of the boat. And as I say, the dad's going, "Hey, what's going on? Get back here. We're not finished." There was a higher call that came. And they were obeying immediately. Matthew Levi, he's a money guy. Money guys don't leave money hanging around because someone might take it. And he's probably sitting at his table working and counting that money out and everything. Jesus is walking by. As far as we can tell in this story, there wasn't much of a conversation. Jesus is walking by. "Follow me." And he keeps on walking. And Matthew, to everybody's amazement, I'm sure, gets up. It says he rose and followed him. Not like robots or zombies or anything weird like that. With full possession of their faculties, but drawn by the voice of the one who has authority in their lives. Right? And we live in that too, as followers of Jesus. The one who speaks to us, the one who gives that call, is the one who has authority. And, we were at a conference not that long ago in Fargo, the Salt and Light Central Leaders Conference, and Dr. Michael Brown was the main speaker at this particular conference. And Dr. Brown had a message one evening. And the message, he says, "The title of my message is When." And I'm sitting there going, "When what?" And then he comes around and he goes, "When will you do that thing that the Lord told you to do?" In the whole room, everybody. Because we all have something like that, where the Lord's been speaking to us about something, and we're going, "Yeah, yeah, 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 yeah." When is the question? Wow, there was a little time of listening to God in that meeting right after that message. Karen and I, it's like, okay, let's. He had everybody just individually, okay, ask the Lord what thing he's talking about to you about when. When are you going to do it now? And I had something right away. It's like, well, my neighbors. We moved into our neighborhood with an idea. We had the call of God to that we would be connecting with our neighbors, and we've done that, but that there was a kind of a lag in that or an attention taken off of that. So I'm writing down neighbors. And then after a while, Karen and I got together and I said, like, "What did God say to you?" And she said, "Well, what did God say to you?" So we both looked at them. I've got neighbors and she's got our neighbors written down. And it's like, okay, we know what to do. And man, we invited our neighbors on both sides into just some fellowship in our home. You know what? Wonderful. It was the Lord. And that was waiting, just until we could answer that question, when. So yes, Jesus' call is supreme. If you're pretty sure that the Lord has called you to follow him into something or out of something, the right response right away, Lord. Not when I get around to it, but right away, Lord. Of course, there might be steps to the right away. Like even the rich young man, Jesus gave him some steps. Okay, well, what you need to do is to liquidate that extra, all your extra assets, and give to the poor, and then come. You'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. So there are often steps to the right away. So when we say, right away, Lord, we're really saying, okay, whatever you're showing me next to do. And then you get shown the next thing and the next thing as we follow him. So praise the Lord. The key to becoming activated in these days as the Lord is on the move is to listen to the call of Jesus, which is, follow me. Excellent. Now, the call of Jesus is sovereign and it's supreme. When he says, follow me, it doesn't mean follow me if it works for you. It doesn't mean follow me when you get the chance. A right response to the call of Jesus, both individually and as a church, is yes, Lord, right away, Lord. Yes, Lord, right away, Lord. And you know, you know me well enough. Over the years as I've come to preach, I tend to bring an object lesson of some kind with me. Well, today's no exception. I've brought an object lesson with me. His name is Al Doty. Actually, it's a person this time. And, you know, Al is going to come and he's going to give testimony. He's from our church where the Lord is activating people in very interesting ways. And Al is no exception. The Lord has done some great things in his life. And he just wants to, for just a few minutes, share about that as a practical application to what we've been talking about. So let's give Al a hand as he comes up. Come on, brother. Go for it.
First of all, I have to apologize to Rob. He said, I'm going to sit on the right-hand side of the church, so it'd be good if you guys sat with us. And I'm a congregant, so we sat on the right-hand side of the church. And sorry about that. Okay. About 2 years ago, I thought God was taking me in a direction, and after about a year for proper and sound reasons, that wasn't to be. We often think, yeah, this is where I'm going. This is what God wants me to do. I'm putting my life into it. And he may permit it for a time, but it wasn't to be. He puts a curve into it, and I was a little down about that, but I understood, and I was like, okay, what am I here for? Like, what? A short while later, oh, first of all, I should tell you, I know that we are accepted, we're appreciated, we're loved in our church. But again, it was like, okay, what, Lord? Like, I don't want to be a pew warmer. None of us should want to be a pew warmer. A little while later, I was watching, anybody get MTS TV? Got MTS TV at home? Or is this one of those churches you're not allowed to watch TV? Oops. I was watching on MTS, they have free stuff. And there was a thing on there called A Cycle Broken. And I was, what's this about? It was about motorcycles. Well, no, it wasn't. There was motorcycles involved. But what it was about anti-child abuse, anti-bullying. A group of people that ride motorcycles, yeah, that have dedicated themselves to standing up against child abuse. Now, I've been writing for a lot of years, and I was intrigued, but I left it alone, or so I thought. It dragged on me for a couple of weeks, and like, what is it, Lord? So I went back and I watched it. Now, in my youth, I hung around with real outlaw bikers. We're not outlaw bikers. And I knew something of biker etiquette, and I had a real problem with colors, your patch, you call them cuts. Because if you encounter one of these outlaw bikers and they look at your patch and say, drop it. You don't drop it, you get dropped. It's a harsh reality, it's not right in our eyes, but that's biker etiquette. And after speaking with who happened to be the international ambassador, and he's also the founder in Canada, who's sitting over there, I found out that he actually had to go to the local outlaw motorcycle group and ask permission to wear our cuts. And we received that permission. Doesn't make sense, right? But that's biker etiquette. Now, in ministry, I too often hear of people that are involved in a ministry, like, man, you gotta come and help me in my ministry. Like, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, I'm in this country and I need you to come to this country because God's gonna use you there and I could really use you there. I'm like, yeah, no, because it ain't my ministry, all right? So we prayed about it and I went to Rob, our pastor, told him what was going on. We prayed, and it was a realization that, yeah, you know what, I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to go there. I got brothers here that are willing to go there. And it's because you're not willing to go there, because it isn't yours. You can't go there. You don't have a motorcycle. But, you know, any number of reasons. It's not yours. It's for me to do. Okay. But is it an opportunity to be led by the Spirit? Andrea and I, my wife Andrea, we're of the opinion that this is an erstwhile endeavor. You know, it looks really interesting, and we like to ride, so it's a good reason to get out there and ride. The organization is called Guardians of the Children. There's chapters in the States, there's 13 chapters in Canada now. So we are going international. We don't simply run into situations. Now, we'll deal with children. We just dealt with a young lady who called us, she's 14, where we will go to court with that family. We'll stand, we're not allowed to wear our cuts in court, but we'll go into the courtroom with our GOC t-shirts on and be an encouragement to that child and the family. Without any question, because of what I call myself, I've been able to pray with families. We've got to have a police report or a CFS number. We're also tied in with the Canadian Center for Child Protection. And we will get involved if a kid is being badly abused or bullied at school. We'll get as many of our group together as we can and we'll ride that kid to school so that the other kids see this kid coming up with a bunch of bikers, like, what's going on? You know, and they leave him alone. All right? We're not trying to be intimidating. We're not violent. We're not aggressive. Right? We don't want to be that. We will get in the way if we're in court. I know of one instance where it was actually another group, but they got between the families because the accused's family got on the victim's family, and they just stood in between. And we're willing to do that. Even if I get punched in the mouth, I will stand there. All right? I might add that kids are drawn to motorcycles. They're not scared, they're not intimidated like adults by looking at our cuts. They like the motorcycles, and you should see the kids' faces when I say, you want to sit on it? And sometimes I'll even start it and let them twist it, and I'll tell you what, that's real fun. Another thing we do that really just touches my heart is when we adopt a kid, when we have a kid that's in court or whatever the situation is, we'll gather around them and we'll get a teddy bear and hug it. Fill it with love. Give it to that kid. Say, it's full of love for you. You need a hug? You hug that teddy bear. Don't be afraid to hug that. And if it goes empty, you come back, we'll fill it up for you. Right? When we went to court with this 14-year-old girl, she came back 3 times. She was a wreck. You know, it works. And it spoke to one of the authorities that's against us. Okay? Sorry, it just wrecks me. We have road names. Okay? This is for a measure of anonymity because, as I said, we go to court. And I don't want them saying, well, that Alto, I'm going to get him, or that so-and-so, I'm going to get them. It's preacher. I call myself preacher. My wife calls herself Sky because she likes looking at the sky when we're riding. I chose preacher because I want to be able to say what my God's opinion is of abusers of children. You know, Jesus said, suffer the little children. He said, better for a millstone to be tied around your neck than to mess with one of my kids, right? I take that serious. So how do I see God in this? Well, like I said, with this name and the capacity, people seem to be receptive to me offering prayer. Every time we've gone to court, I've said to the family, can I pray for you? And they eagerly accept. And that's a blessing for me. The last family we went to, the young girl said, my favorite scripture is John 3:16. And the mother said, I don't even know what that is. I said, wow. Doesn't everybody know what John 3:16 is? So I quoted it for her. And very receptive. Also very receptive to the fact I said, I would like to pray for you before we go into this situation. And before we left, the next day we were in court, the mother asked that we pray for her before we leave. All right. And then we found out that that young 14-year-old girl, she was sex abused. She came out of a shell that she'd retreated into. She had rekindled a broken friendship. She actually smiling again. She told her mother, I love you, Mom. And something else. This was all in one day. The next day, just turned just like that. Well, I gotta know God's in that. All right? We set up booths. All right, for information and who are you, you know, as well as for fundraising. And I've actually had people come up, we have had people come up to us and share the abuse that they've suffered in their life. And what a perfect opportunity. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? And I haven't been refused. And I had one lady, just tears coming down. I was like, bless the Lord. Because that ain't me. It is not me. I've also had the honor to serve even some of my fellow members, as has Andy. I never want to get in the way. I want to serve. We should all just want to serve. And like Rob said, that if there's something that God's calling you to do, do it. But you can't do it unless you're where it is at, right? I want to be able to pour, I want to plant seeds. I'd like to see them grow fruit, but it may not be what I'm supposed to do. I'd love to pick the fruit and go, glory to God. But for now, I'm content sowing those seeds and watching them be watered. Doesn't matter how slow it happens, I know it's going to happen. Thanks, Rob. James 4:17. Is something that I attribute to this, or I put on this, is if you know the good that you ought to do and you don't do it, for you that's sin. Okay? We're going to be here. We got some brochures if you want to know more about us. But your prayers are coveted. And this is a really, really ugly pit that we're in. I'm not going to go into detail. So, thank you.
Yeah, so there's Al saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And the answer is like, well, I'd like you to ride a motorcycle, dress in motorcycle colors, and go into situations that are really, really difficult and pray for these people. It's an activation. It's something that's unique. And it's an illustration of what the call of Jesus can look like. It can look like anything. God takes us off road when we have ears to hear his call. Amen. So just to conclude, these are days of activation. I think in my heart, in our hearts, and in the hearts of many in local churches, where the Lord Jesus is saying to us, follow me. The first call that Jesus gives us to follow him is to follow him out of hell. It's a call to salvation. And many of us have already said yes to that call. But I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus, he earnestly calls to those who don't know him. And he's saying, come up out of the kingdom of darkness. Because there's a place for you in the kingdom of light. So the first call of Jesus is to salvation. And if you've never answered that call yet, well, this is a day that's for you, where, you know, the encouragement is, say yes, Lord, right away, Lord, in answer to that call, because that's the first and the biggest yes you can say to Jesus. But then many of us have said yes to that call. If you haven't, it's time to answer, yes, Lord, right away, Lord. And if you don't know how to come to Jesus, then just ask a friend or somebody who came with you or whatever. Get that dealt with. Answer that call. But Jesus' call to follow him doesn't end there. Our whole life in Christ is filled with new calls from Jesus where he's saying, follow me. May our answer be, yes, Lord. Right away, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Al.
I'm going to release you and bless you, but there's some of you here today who are hearing a call. And so I want to challenge you just to stay behind after the service. Come forward, share what you feel the Lord's calling you to. We're going to pray for you that the Lord will activate that call by the power of his Holy Spirit. Could we do that together today? If you're not in that place and you need to go, I'll release you, but also consider joining us downstairs. We have coffee after the service and we'd love to visit together. And so if you can stay and visit a little bit, there is coffee downstairs. As Rob was closing up, I got Ephesians 3:20 and 21 that came to mind, where it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. I just want to declare the things the Lord calls us to, he will empower us for. Amen. And so I just want to reassure you as you come forward, Jesus isn't expecting you to come into something that he expects you to do in your own strength. Amen. And so as you respond to the call, know that you're coming to the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Can we stand?